Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We're thankful for your tuning in, and hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, to help us through the maze of different denominations, we need to understand the distinguishing characteristics of the Lord Church. You know, please need to have a vivid description of the person that's missing because there are a lot of people. Well, the distinctive characteristics then must be known or the correct person may never be found. Well, the same principle holds true in our search for the church that we read about in the New Testament. We want to look at two areas in our study time today. One is the name of the church. The other is the organization. You know, to find the person that's missing, we need to know the name that they are called. And the same is true of the church. What is the church called in the New Testament? Well, in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. It's in also Acts 20 and verse 28, when Paul said, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all of the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. So we see then the term church of God used to describe the church. Also in Colossians 1 and verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we see then that it's referred to as the body of Christ. Also in Ephesians 1 and verse 22, God has put all things under Christ's feet and gave Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So the body of Christ is certainly a legitimate name that we see being used in reference to the church that we read about in the New Testament. It's in Matthew 16:18 that Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So we see it's the church of Christ, the church that Christ built, my church, Jesus said. But it's also in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. So truly, the church of Christ, the churches of Christ, is a term that we find in the New Testament used to describe the name of the church. Also in Romans 7, it's in verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. So truly, the church is referred to here as the bride of Christ. And it's in Revelation 21 and verse 9, there came unto me one of the seven angels that had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. So the bride of Christ is truly what the church is also described as being in the New Testament. So, hopefully we see and understand that to know the name eliminates a great number in our hunt for the church that we find revealed in the New Testament. But also, what distinguishes the New Testament church in its organization? These were the two things that we mentioned earlier that we were going to study in today's program: the name and the organization of the church that we read about in the New Testament. So what is it that distinguishes, what is it that sets apart the New Testament church? Well, certainly this organization does. And the one single thing that sets the New Testament church apart in terms of its organization is its simplicity. In Titus chapter 1, in verse 5, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every church, as I had appointed thee." So we see that elders were to be appointed in all of those cities that Paul had went and established churches of our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, "The elders that are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." So we see in 1 Peter 5 that the word elder is used. The word is also used here as an overseer. So we see then these are elders that are to be appointed and need to be appointed as a part of that organization of the church. In fact, when Paul was speaking to the elders that had come to him from the church at Ephesus, he said in Acts 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood." So we see another term here is overseers. We see, therefore, several terms that are used to refer to this office as it applies to the organization of the church. They are bishops, they are elders, they are pastors, they are shepherds, they are overseers. Different office? No. The same office with the same responsibility, just different words describing that responsibility. And there's one other that we have that we see. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that in order for these men to serve as elders, they have to meet certain qualifications. Before a person can be, whichever term you prefer to use, either an elder or a pastor or a bishop or an overseer or a shepherd, these men must possess these qualifications. And we read about them, and we're going to read these verses here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1, "This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil." So we see here in these qualifications that he must be a man for he is to be the husband of one wife. He's to desire that office. He must be blameless. He must be vigilant, sober, good behavior, a man that's given to hospitality, a man capable of teaching, not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy of money or filthy lucre, as it's called, but to be patient, not a brawler, not a covetous man whatsoever. And also he must be one that has children, because he is to rule his own house well, having his children in subjection. So we see then that a pastor or an elder must be married, he must have children, and those children must be in subjection unto him. But a very simple reason is verse 5 said, if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God, which is oftentimes in the scriptures referred to as the house of God, or the household, the family of God. He's not to be a novice. He cannot be a man that has just become a Christian, and therefore, in that sense, he is a novice. Neither is he is also to be a person that has a good report of them that are without. That is, not only among Christians must this man have a good reputation, but he also, among those that are not Christians, among people of the world, he needs to be a man of good report. So we see then that these qualifications are not options. They're not to be picked and choose from. No, each and every one of these qualifications mentioned in these seven verses are qualifications that elders or pastors must meet. But then also in that simplicity of organization, we see deacons. In 1 Peter 3, where we just read from verses 1 through 7, the qualifications of elders or pastors, we see also the qualifications given for deacons. Again, these are qualifications that are mandatory. They're not options. We see in these verses, verse 8, likewise must the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And lest there also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So again, a part of this simplicity of organization is that the church of the New Testament was made up of elders and made up of deacons, and they're made up of saints. They're made up of members. That's what we see happening in Acts 2, when those heard on the day of Pentecost the preaching of the gospel that Peter gave, they were responding and asking what must they do. When Peter told them what they must do, they did that. And when they heard, believed, and were baptized for the remission of their sins, we see that God, in verse 47, added to the church daily those that were being saved. Friends, this organization differs so greatly from most present-day churches. Do we believe in the Bible to be God's Word? Are we willing to just go by what the Bible says? If so, let's be sure that the church that we are a member of carries a name that we can find in the Bible and has the organization that we read about in the Bible. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastapertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.